My brows pulled down. We'd been together every night since I'd come back early from spring break. Sid's hands ran along her arms. I tried to meet her gaze, but she looked at the floor. The thought of her not being beside me sent a pain through my chest.
You're not staying the night?
I stuffed my hands in my pockets, already knowing the answer. She took a beat, but shook her head no.
This party looks like it has a few hours left in it.
She adjusted her bag and shrugged.
I'm tired, and I have an early shift tomorrow.
Her eyes finally met mine, and there was light in them.
I'm thrilled for you. This is such a huge deal, and I'm proud. Someday soon, I'll be able to say I went to college with that guy.
Her words stung, and a bitter taste filled my mouth. If you weren't so stubborn, it wouldn't have to be that way. It fucking sucks. I knew it would be hard, but it didn't mean we shouldn't try. My jaw clenched, and I stood straighter. The truth she couldn't see was she was the one leaving me.
No need to make this harder on us. Like you said, this was the plan.
Responding in a crisp, impersonal voice, she turned and left, with me following a few steps behind her. I stood out on the porch as she drove away, and dread filled me. Everything in me wanted to promise her it would work, that we would find a way, and that all of her worries were unfounded. But deep down, I knew I'd break every promise, and she knew it too.
29. Sydney.
I can't believe we're graduating in 2 weeks, Mia mumbled between mouthfuls of pasta. Did you decide on an apartment?
We were having a long overdue roomie supper at the Italian restaurant down the street. They made the best rigatoni and a cheese dish with honey that dreams were made of. I'd been stalking 3 apartments for the last few weeks, struggling to decide between them. Going with the smaller but closer to work option. I wanted that soaker tub like I need my next breath, but the commute would have been 40 minutes. I lifted my hands in a whatever gesture. Mia winked at me.
Think how fit you'll be walking back and forth to work.
Uh-huh. I wasn't worried about not being fit until this very moment. Thanks for that. She gave me a thumbs up and continued to shovel spaghetti into her mouth.
It's surreal. It's going to be over, you know?
A sliver of pain started in my chest. I'm going to miss you. Not only was I leaving Windsor, but Mia and I were separating. Me to start my internship, and her to go to medical school in Vancouver. A loud group of girls entered the restaurant and interrupted my thoughts. Looking over my shoulder, I could see they were the girls who sat in front of Jax and me in class. The booth shook as they sat at the table behind ours. Mia was already peeking over, straining to hear what they were saying. They were loud, but I could only hear bits and pieces of their gossip. Mia lowered her voice. Something about a girl who's pining over some hot guy at school. She scrunched up her nose, not a fan of tearing someone down.
Who does she think she is?
I couldn't make out who was talking. They all sounded similar, but I wasn't a fan of this one.
She can't possibly believe he's not going to ditch her at the end of the semester.
The girls laughed at her little bitchy joke.
She can't be that naive. And those pictures?
The sound of judgment was practically rolling out of another girl's mouth.
Talk about cheap, climbing all over him in public like that.
A bottomless pit formed in my stomach as what they said sunk in. A rational voice broke through the others.
I mean, obviously, she knows Jax is leaving for Boston. It wasn't a secret.
My breath hitched, and heat flooded my skin as dread slammed into my gut. Shit. Distantly, I heard Mia calling my name. Her face was full of sympathy, which only made this worse. An overwhelming feeling of shame settled over me, and I took 3 slow breaths to calm my frantic heart. Mia stood abruptly and walked behind me, looming over their table. Her face pinched, and she raised her chin to glare down at the group. They didn't stand a chance.
How would you like to be talked about like that?
The girls all looked at her, but she cut them off before they could reply.
You aren't showing any sympathy or consideration for how your careless conversation could hurt others.
The girls glanced in my direction and winced.
You're better than this.
The disappointment in Mia's tone had all the girls staring down at the table, only one speaking up.
I'm sorry. You should be.
Mia stormed back to our table, quickly paying the bill, and we were out of there. She didn't bring it up, but she glanced toward me every few seconds, eyes roaming over me, checking for signs of a breakdown. As soon as we got home, we collapsed on the couch and leaned against each other. Mia shuffled endlessly through Netflix, finally choosing a horror movie. Thank God, because I couldn't stand a rom-com right now. She'd been texting back and forth with someone, but monitored me as she did. Her brows furrowed in the middle, worry clear on her face. I breathed in deeply and reminded myself I'd known this was coming. I just didn't expect to have it rubbed in my face in such a shit way. Deep breath one, deep breath two, deep breath three. As my heart squeezed, I looked at Mia. I'm going to miss him. It was the first time I'd admitted it out loud, and an ache throbbed in my chest. Mia looked at me, but I rested my head on her shoulder, watching a girl get hacked to bits on TV. There was nothing to say. I wasn't a defeatist. I'd be fine after graduation. Yes, it would hurt. Yes, I'd miss him. But I was moving to Ottawa and starting a new, exciting internship. Jax would be preoccupied with his own excitement. I had to believe I'd be okay. Sensing my unease, Mia asked, "Ice cream?" I tried my hardest to keep my voice neutral. I don't think that's going to cut it this time. A heavy weight pushed down on me, and I got up, heading to my room after the movie.
I hope you know what you're doing, Sydney.
Her voice was soft, filled with concern. Yeah, I hope so too. I lay in my bed, and I couldn't stop thinking that I wanted to hit pause to enjoy this time a little longer. I was hurtling toward the end of this chapter of my life, and I wanted to reread. I knew I'd be revisiting my favorite lines and moments for years to come. Whatever was between Jax and me was deeper, truer. I could see it in his long stares when he thought I wasn't looking, in the way he held me like he refused to let me go. I knew because I felt it too. The magnetic pull that brought us together was now ripping us apart. Hearing we had less than 2 weeks until he left had me shutting down, going into survival mode. I was building my walls back up and protecting myself from what I'd always known was coming. I knew that there was only one way it would end. I was an idiot for thinking that knowing what was happening would stop it from gutting me. My feelings had changed weeks ago. He invaded my mind in every quiet moment. The more time went by, the more I believed we belonged together. The universe didn't want us to miss out on this precious thing so few got to experience. I wished it had set us on an intertwined path instead of a diverging one. We were a perfect example of the right person at the wrong time. My chest filled with ice, and I couldn't help the tears that escaped. This would rip my heart out, and there was nothing I could do about it. The hard truth was we both looked at each other, wanting to be a little selfish, wanting to ask the other to sacrifice for the other, but never crossing that line. If that wasn't proof of how we felt about each other, I didn't know what was. Knowing that he felt the same didn't make it any easier. It didn't change what was coming, no matter how much I wished it did. Why did I have to fall for him? Because that was what happened. I skirted right on the line, but he kept showing me all the ways he was different, special, and honestly, kind of magical. My brain tried to say I had this under control, but the aching crack through my heart whenever I thought past graduation had liar written all over it. Me, what are you up to? I'd been staring at my phone for the last few minutes, waiting for a response. My fingers ran through my hair and pulled at the root. With a groan, I put my phone down on my nightstand. Get a hold of yourself. I tossed my legs over the side of the bed, sitting up, and took a deep breath in, out. With every breath, the ache hurt more. When I felt like saying screw it and wanting to make all kinds of compromises to be with Jax, I reminded myself that this was how I'd feel most of the time. Alone. There was a hard knock on the front door. Startled, I jumped to my feet, jogged to the door, and peeked through the peephole. I couldn't help the wide smile that stretched across my mouth. Let me in, Sid. I can hear you there ogling me. The laugh I let out released all the tension with it. Opening the door, I leaned against the jamb and took him in. He was in his standard gray sweats, of course, and a dark blue Henley. His cap was tipped forward, covering his eyes, but his mouth had my attention. It dropped open, and his tongue licked his top teeth as his mouth formed a sexy smile. He met my eyes, heat gleaming in his. Damn, babe, you should greet me like this every time. He reached out and played with the hem of my sleep shorts. I could feel my face redden, realizing I was wearing my skimpiest shorts and a thin t-shirt. Jax nestled my neck and ran his nose up the side of my face with his warm breath, leaving a fiery trail behind it. He stepped back and smiled at my disgruntled protest. He held up a bag I'd been too distracted to notice. I brought dessert. My mouth wobbled, but I smiled. You're an absolute saint. His brows pinched with concern, but his free hand reached up to my jaw. What happened? Nothing that matters now. What'd you bring me? I rubbed my hands together in excitement and pushed away all the achy feelings of earlier. I would have plenty of time for those later. Jax took out two chocolate explosion cheesecakes and placed them on the coffee table, along with cutlery and napkins. My mouth fell open. How did you know? They were my favorite as a kid, but I hadn't had one in years. Lucky guess. His smirk was hiding something. Mia. She must have been texting him. Sneaky bitch. He'd brought me cheesecake, so I couldn't complain. We sat on the couch, flipping on the TV while we mindlessly ate our dessert. Mouth filling with chocolate goodness, I sighed happily. I was wallowing in loneliness, harping that being with him meant always being alone, only to have him show up with my favorite dessert, no less. I watched as he stuffed cake in his mouth, eyes on the TV, and an overwhelming warmth filled me. Hope. A few minutes later, he got up, collected our garbage, and headed over to dump it in the trash. He grabbed a blanket on the way back, and a broad smile crossed his face when he looked at me. You got something here. His chuckle rumbled through the room, but I stilled as his thumb swiped across my bottom lip and he sucked it clean. I grinned. You can't buy my heart with cheesecake. You need at least a full course meal for that. We both smiled as he stroked his thumb over my cheek. There's the feistiness I know and love. He placed a quick kiss on the tip of my nose before sitting on the couch, tucking me into his side. I let all the air out of my lungs. Love. Jax threw the blanket over both of us and tucked me closer. The woodsy smell of him felt like an old memory and a warm bed, like coming home. I settled into the normalcy of watching shows with my boyfriend, a regular couple doing ordinary things. No impending wall we were about to slam into, and I let my thoughts drift into daydreams about what it would be like to make this permanent. If I bent on my rules, would he always be like this? I didn't know, but I was starting to think I was willing to find out. 30. Sydney. I folded and unfolded my napkin and trailed my fingers over my thin gold watch, checking it for the 10th time, then rolled my empty wine glass between my palms. I'd finished it in a few sips when I first got here to help with the jitters of seeing my dad. Not that it helped. He was late. He was always late. That didn't mean he wasn't coming, right? How late was didn't show up late? A sinking feeling started in my stomach and dropped through the floor. How much longer could I sit here before I became truly pathetic? Pain tightened my chest and my eyes burned. I would not cry. I should have expected this. I was just so desperate for crumbs that I grasped at the possibility of seeing him despite his words. I'll fit you in. Like I was a business appointment and not his daughter. I didn't realize how much I'd wanted to see him. Tell him about my new internship and maybe even about Jax. I knew he'd have issues with it, but maybe after I explained how he was, he'd have some advice. Things were different. Instead, I sat here with a red face and pitying glances turned my way. The part that hit me the hardest was I knew better. I let my heart soften to the idea of hanging with him, wanting to believe in a different reality. I was sure my dad would have some reasonable excuse for not showing up, something I wouldn't be able to refute because it would be utterly rational. Oh, sorry, kiddo. I couldn't make it because my flight was delayed and I didn't have enough time in between connections. He always had a believable reason. That was until you realized it was every single time. In reality, it all came down to the fact that I wasn't important compared to his lifestyle. It was damn hard to compete with going on cruises, big celebrity parties, or playing giant arenas. You'd think he would have grown bored with that life enough to find some time to fit me in. But the opposite was true. My dad spent barely enough time with me when I was a kid, but the longer he was a big-time coach, the more he believed his own excuses. And this right here was why I swore never to date a hockey player. It was a world complete unto itself, and it had a self-perpetuating feedback loop that made the world feel like it truly revolved around them. Asking someone to step out of that loop, to come back to Earth and visit for a minute, felt like an imposition. My hand pressed to my chest and tried to hold my heart together. Jax wasn't like that, though. He was different, right? I couldn't picture him falling into his own feedback loop like my dad did. Jax was constantly thinking about how I felt and made sure I was happy. I was important to him. So, why did a part of me feel like, no matter what, one day I'd end up right here again, but with Jax missing on the other side of the table? Screw this. I refused to let my dad make me feel small. The heat of anger rose up my spine. I covered my bill and snatched up my phone, quickly ordering an Uber. It was time to smash some shit. My heels crunched on the fine gravel as I stomped across the junkyard, making a beeline for the sofa. Everything was still where I'd wanted it, even though I hadn't been here since the time with Jax. I dug in my clutch for a hair tie, snatching my hair up into a quick ponytail. I tossed my clutch on the sofa and dragged out my favorite bat and the safety glasses. An hour later, my brow was slick with sweat and my hands were shaking. I dropped the bat, knowing I'd probably made a callus on my thumb. I looked at my watch again. It was just under an hour until Lucas would get Piper. Flopping on the sofa, I dug into my clutch for my phone and shot off a quick text. Me. How's it going? Everything in place? Jax. What are you doing texting me? How's your dad? Me. I'm excited for them. It's a big moment, and I'm sad I'll miss it. Jax, Have your dad swing you around when he's on his way back to the airport. Me.
Well, that's going to be a problem. My dad never made it.
Jax. WTF?
My phone immediately rang. I hesitated to pick it up when I saw Jax's name scroll across the front. I took a calming breath and I answered. Hi.
Sid, is everything okay? Is your dad okay?
His voice was soft, questioning.
Yeah, I'm sure he's fine. He does this sometimes.
I swallowed down a lump in my throat.
Does what? Leaves you hanging?
Pretty much. You know how it is. Important jobs come first. My voice was barely a whisper.
Seriously, that's fucked up. When's the last time you saw him?
A year ago. I held the phone away from my face as I took a shuddering breath and clamped my jaw shut, not willing to cry over someone I knew better than to count on.
Jax, I don't want to talk about it.
I'm so sorry, Sid. I know how much you were looking forward to seeing him. He let out a harsh breath, and I could picture him pacing in a circle. Just then, Fred drove over in a truck, and a high-pitched beeping sound echoed off the towers of scrapped metal all around when he got to work.
Trouble?
Jax could obviously hear it through the phone.
Where are you?
His voice was pitched low with concern. With my hand pressed over the mic on my phone, I waited for Fred to shut off the incessant beeping.
Sid. Sydney.
I just need to blow off some steam, I blurted out. Jax went to say something, but I cut him off.
Enough about me. Tell me about the engagement.
I didn't have to force my voice to lighten as my genuine excitement shined through. Do you think it's weird if I ask you to FaceTime with me so I can see it too? Muffled noise came from the other end. Jax talked to someone, but must have covered the phone, just like I did.
I'm coming to get you.
It was a statement, not a question.
What? Jax, no, you can't. There's not enough time. You can't miss it.
I shook my head, even though he couldn't see me. He paused.
You're right.
Letting out my breath, I thanked God he saw reason. Have fun. Make sure you take pictures, and don't forget to save me a piece of cake. I forced as much cheer into my voice as I could.
Whatever you want, Sid.
There was noise on the other end of the phone, and I could tell he'd muffled it again.
I've got to run, but I'll see you later.
It used to be that the junkyard could relieve all my worries. It was my haven, my odd source of strength, my immediate confidence booster, the closest therapy money could buy. But it hadn't been able to work its magic tonight. Someone cleared their throat. As if I conjured him from thin air, Jack stood there in a long-sleeved hunter green Henley and dark-washed jeans. His hair was in its signature ruffled style, and his smile spread as his eyes roamed over me. I was sure I must look ridiculous in my heels and cocktail dress, standing in the middle of a junkyard with safety glasses on, shit-smashing bat in hand.
How did you find me?
I dropped the bat, turning to face him. Jax shrugged, lips tipping up in a grin.
The tow truck was a bit of a giveaway.
Instantly, a weight fell from my shoulders, and I ran to him, throwing my arms around him.
You're not supposed to be here. Lucas's proposal is more important than this.
I muffled out, my voice pressed into his chest, but I had no will to pull away. His strong arms tightened around me, and I met his concerned gaze.
Lucas is delaying, so I could come get you. He won't pop the question until we get there, but you better hurry.
There was a smile in his voice, and his tone was warm, comforting.
Delaying? Yeah, and there's only so many tricks to keep Piper distracted, so let's go. Grab your stuff, and keep the safety glasses,
he added with another smirk.
You look hot.
With all my previous worries of the day forgotten, I grinned as Jax pulled me away with him. We crouched behind the concrete railing and looked down the line of people. Everyone was here. The guys, close friends,
what must be Piper's family and friends from back home. Everyone smiled, silently waiting for the signal, telling us Lucas and Piper were in place. There was an electric joy buzzing in my chest, and Jax faced me, gaze peering into my eyes, a grin pulling at his mouth. His giddiness was contagious, and I covered my mouth to stop from laughing. I barely caught Alex's signal from the corner of my eye, and we jumped out, flipping a giant banner with the words, "Will you marry me?" written across it in bright purple letters. All of us watched with bated breath as Piper's eyes widened. She looked from us back to Lucas, who was already down on one knee. Piper's hand covered her heart, and even from here, I could see her mouth tremble and tears rolling down. She nodded her head vigorously, and a cheer broke out as Lucas pulled her up in his arms, her legs going around his waist. The guys had thought of everything. The venue was located only a few blocks away, and my mouth dropped when we stepped in. There was a double-length table filled with Piper's favorite foods. On the other side, there was a dance floor and a DJ set up playing 90s music. Jax and I dropped off our stuff on one of the wooden tables, and he smiled down at me, eyes wide and happy. "You look beautiful." Heart skipping, I wrapped my arms around his middle. "You don't look half bad yourself." He squeezed me to him, kissing the top of my head. I didn't notice the dance floor filling with people until Jax backed up, taking my hand. "Let's dance, Trouble." I couldn't resist the wicked grin that tilted his lips. The music had a slow, deep bass undercurrent that screamed of late nights. Jax pulled me close to him, and we danced with my cheek against his chest. I relaxed into his body, letting the warmth seep into my skin, chasing away the pain from tonight. Lifting onto my toes, I whispered, "Thank you." He kissed my nose, eyes light with joy for his friends. "You have nothing to thank me for." "Yes, I do. Thank you for coming for me. I didn't realize how much I needed you to." "Sydney." He ran his thumb along my jaw until I met his gaze, and his voice turned serious. "I will always come to get you when you need me. We're a team. I would never leave you hanging." The air whooshed out of me because I wanted to believe him. I wanted to give it a chance. I trusted him. It felt like I was hanging over a precipice, unsure what would happen if I fell. But I didn't want to stop moving forward. "I was thinking we could make a trip to the city the weekend of my internship meeting." My gaze met his, and I knew he could read my hopeful expression. "We could go check out the apartments I'm looking at, make a night of it." I knew he read between the lines that this was a chance to see what it would be like if we stayed together. See how we could fit our lives together, even though there were obstacles. A high-pitched squeal had me turning in time to catch Piper as she slammed herself into me. I got caught up in her joy, and soon I was hugging her back and jumping with her. Jax stepped back and smiled. "Congratulations. Let me know if he causes you any trouble." He pointed his thumb in Lucas's direction. She beamed up at Lucas, but turned back to me. "I'm happy you came. Lucas told me you almost couldn't make it." Her eyes glowed, joy radiating from her as she hugged me close. "You're practically family now. Wouldn't have been the same without you." She gave me a quick kiss on the cheek before Lucas swept her away to speak with another couple. I watched them as they moved together in sync. Their situation wasn't much different from ours, and they were taking the jump. Sure, Piper would eventually move to wherever Lucas was playing, but that would be years away. Piper would always be the center of his universe, and if they could have that, maybe I could too. Jax placed a gentle kiss on my head, pulling me from my thoughts and sending a shiver down my spine. My entire body sank into him. I stayed there with his arms wrapped tightly around me, even as the songs changed. Jax's fingers drifted mindlessly up and down my spine, occasionally stopping to run through my hair, and his breath skimmed my neck, sending electricity down my spine with every exhale. He hummed deep within his chest, rumbling against me every so often, arms solid, content to stay like this. I ran my fingers through the back of his hair. It had grown out a bit since I'd met him, enough that I could swirl it around my finger. He swayed me back and forth in our own rhythm as dancers moved around us. Everything in this moment was perfect.
Jax. Sydney was lying cuddled into my side as I traced designs on her back in long, slow movements. We had been like this for hours, neither of us speaking, both lost in thought. I couldn't shake the image of her standing in the junkyard in her sleek gray dress, her shoulders tense and her knuckles white with how tight she was gripping the bat. I watched her smash through several vases before interrupting her, and anger at her dad raised in my chest. She hadn't seen him in a fucking year. No wonder she put up boundaries with men. I gently placed a kiss on her head before I asked, "Is your dad the reason you've been going to the junkyard?" I tucked a stray strand of her hair behind her ears, and her eyes met mine. "I found it my junior year after he bailed on a weekend with me. I needed some way to blow off steam." I ran my thumb over her cheek, wiping away a tear trailing over her cheek, and pressed a kiss there. What she was feeling right now was why she didn't want to take the risk. I wanted to promise I'd never miss a date, but I knew that wouldn't be the truth. Life on the road was chaotic, but I had to believe I'd be different. "What he did tonight," I paused, choosing my words carefully because no matter how disappointed she was, Sid loved her dad. "You shouldn't have to put up with that. He was an ass for not showing, or at a minimum, not giving you a heads up." Shrugging, she settled herself back into me. "I'm used to it."
31. Sydney. My nerves had me tossing and turning all night, startling Jax into waking up at an ungodly hour. I was too nervous that something might make us late, that we went into the city earlier than necessary. Nervous energy had me bouncing around in my seat until Jax grabbed my hand. "Hey." His voice was soft and comforting. "You've got this." He drew lazy circles on my palm, and the gentle strokes soothed my jittery nerves. He didn't let go for the rest of the drive to Ottawa. We'd spent every available moment together over the last 7 days. I wasn't sure how many TV series we'd watched, cuddled up as close as possible, only separating to study for finals or go to class. We soaked up every second we had left, not wanting to waste a single one. I looked over toward Jax, whose mouth was tipped up in a smile, his eyes sparkling with pride. I couldn't imagine sharing this moment with anyone else. Jax celebrated my wins with the same energy as if they were his own. He pulled up to the building to the side of Parliament. To my disappointment, my office wouldn't actually be there. I leaned over the truck's center console and pressed my lips into his, my fingers digging into his hair as I pulled him hard into me. I tried to express everything I was feeling without words. There was a lightness growing inside my chest, one that glowed a soft amber that warmed me from within. Hope. For once, I felt like there was hope, and this time, it was worth a chance. Jax's hands slid up either side of my neck, and his thumbs gently grazed my jaw. I could feel the smile forming on his lips, and mine was quick to follow as a feeling of giddiness filled me. I smiled so wide it hurt my cheeks, while his eyes searched mine in silent question before his broad smile matched mine. "We can do this," Sid. My shoulders rose with my breath, pushing air into the bottom of my lungs before letting it all go. I pushed down the fear that was a constant presence and all the reasons this should be impossible, and said the one thing I'd been dying to say for months, ever since he'd asked that night on the phone. I want to try. Yeah? His voice was hesitant, but when I nodded, he pulled me in for a possessive kiss, one that promised to never let me go. Tears stung the back of my eyes, but instead of sadness, they came from hope, a hope I hadn't dared to feel in years. I have no idea how. Honestly, the schedules will be impossible. He cupped my face with his palms, running his thumbs over both of my cheeks, and promised, "We'll make it work. Just stay with me, and we'll make it work." I bit my bottom lip, failing to hide my smirk, and he groaned. Jax ran his thumb along my bottom lip, releasing it from my teeth. "If you keep doing that, you're going to be late." I glanced at the clock, and panic flashed through me. Shit. I pulled him in for another kiss, not wanting to leave this conversation like this. "We'll figure it out after my meeting. Together. Always." The building was at least a dozen stories tall, made completely out of steel and glass. I smoothed out a few wisps of hair that had escaped my low bun in my reflection and adjusted my tailored nude blazer. Turning slightly, I made sure I wasn't wrinkled from the drive here. Movement caught my eye through the glass, and my air froze in my lungs. Shit. This was probably someone's office window. Heat rushed to my face. I got the hell out of there, heading toward the entrance. A young man in a security uniform at the reception desk smiled at me, pointing toward where I had been standing outside. He chuckled as my eyes widened. "I can see clear through the glass at the people walking by. Don't worry, it happens all the time." Thanks. His warm smile helped calm my nerves a little, but it wasn't a great way to start. He handed me a badge. "9th floor. Elevators are on the right." I tried not to twitch in the elevator as I watched the numbers light up. I was already 99% sure I would be the one to get that recommendation from Professor Carter. So this was it. This was the last hurdle, and I couldn't have done it without Jax. Thinking of him shot warmth through my chest. We were actually going to do it. Don't get me wrong, I was terrified. But he'd shown me time and time again that he was different from my dad. I was finally admitting that to myself. I was still not comfortable that I'd be spending most of the year alone, but he was worth it. We were worth it. The elevator dinged, and I was met with a sleekly put together receptionist, smiling at me warmly. "Hi, Miss King?" "Yes, I'm here to see the MP Jones." Swallowing, I could only hope that she couldn't make out the little tremble in my voice. My breath caught, taking in the entire wall of windows. The decor was modern and minimal, but the textiles made it look cozy. I took a deep breath in. There was a pleasant smell coming from the fresh flowers on the desk. A young man, early 40s, stepped out of the corner office and leveled me with a smile. "Sydney, right?" His voice was friendly, fitting in with his casual appearance. "Hi." I went to shake his hand, but realized he was holding a coffee. Instead, I gave the world's most awkward wave. This was the member of parliament I was going to spend my first month shadowing. "It's so nice to meet you, MP Jones." He laughed it off. "It's Brian. We try not to follow too much formality here." He gestured for me to follow him into his office and sat behind his desk. His office had wall-to-wall windows overlooking an enormous park. He followed my gaze. "You should check it out. There's a great coffee cart in the middle." His hand jutted out, and I followed his pointed finger to a coffee stand just off the path. "Thanks. I can always use an excellent coffee." Relaxing a bit, I sat across the desk from him. He tapped on his computer and pulled up what must be my file. "I'm thrilled you could make it here. Out of all of our applicants, you stood out the most." A spark of excitement ran through me at that.
I'd been busting my ass off, but was secretly unsure if it would be enough. Taking a deep breath in, I tried not to give away my excitement. Thank you. I really appreciate the internship. He clicked through his screen and said, And it says here that you were the valedictorian of your high school, looking to be the same for college. Click, click, click. You scored high on your last two interviews. He turned from his screen, looking directly at me. I'll be frank, you've passed the job criteria. This was more of a personality test to see how you'll fit with us. We believe in achieving excellence, but we also work as a family. We support each other and lift each other up. Does that sound good to you? He didn't know how good it sounded. Yes, it sounds great. My voice tipped up in a near squeak. What makes you want to get into politics? He asked, turning into interviewer mode, but still keeping his voice casual. I've known I wanted to be in politics since I was a little girl. It'd been my mom's dream before she passed, and I've never let it go since then. He gave me sympathies, but I waved him off, long past for the need of them. I want to make a difference. I want to be a part of the change instead of a spectator. By the time I stopped rambling, Brian's smile had spread wide. Just what I was looking to hear. Thank you for coming in. Make sure you grab one of those coffees on your way out. That's it? Like I was saying before, we already knew you were capable. This last step was just a check-in to make sure we were on the same page. You are going to fit in great here. Welcome to the team. My grin was so wide, it hurt my cheeks. I freaking did it. Samantha will take care of you on your way out. Thanks for coming in. I look forward to working with you. No, thank you. Thank you so much. Desperately trying to rein myself in, I slipped through the door, walking up to Samantha's desk. I hear congratulations are in order. Welcome to the team. She flashed a genuine smile my way. You'll receive an onboarding package via email in the next few days. She handed me her business card. If you need any help to situate yourself in the city, call me and I'll help you out. We have a list of residences that new employees often choose to stay in because they are close by, one of which is the pavilion up the street. She turned the card over. If you go to this website, you'll find a registry created by the employees here. Favorite restaurants, best movie theater, hair salon suggestions. Everyone knows it's tough to move somewhere new, so over the years, we've been putting together this database to help ease your way. My breath caught. Wow. She looked at me with knowing eyes. Welcome to the family. See you in a few weeks. Her voice was cheery, and it followed me into the elevator. I was stunned. It was a crazy, incredible feeling to be here. I grabbed my phone, sending a quick text to Jax and one to Mia, who responded with a gif of an excited monkey. I waited with my phone in my hand for his reply, but tucked it into my blazer pocket when the elevator door opened. I headed to the park to wait for Jax. His manager was in town, working with a player on the Ottawa Senators, and Jax had managed to schedule a quick meeting. His meeting would be short, but neither of us expected just how fast mine would be. I was still overwhelmed with excitement, and I was barely able to restrain myself from dancing on the walk up to the coffee cart. Large coffee, please. I handed the attendant my money, going to the table to add my cream and sugar. That first sip had a moan slipping through my lips. MP Jones, aka Brian, wasn't kidding about how amazing this coffee was. I sat on one of the benches that lined the park and looked at my new office building. It towered over the park, light gleaming off it. I checked the time. It'd been just under an hour since Jax dropped me off. It was fairly early, and the area was teeming with people jumping into cabs, jogging, or biking down the path. The park was full of families taking advantage of the warmth of spring. There was something magical about it. I was practically high on life.
I lost track of time, watching people coming and going, kids running around, old men playing chess, and couples strolling down the path made me picture Jax being here with me. Speaking of which, where was he? I still hadn't heard from him, and we were pushing on 2 hours since he dropped me off. That put him a half hour late for picking me up. Where the hell was he? An itch of anxiety crept up my neck. I sent him another quick text, asking him what was up. After another 5 minutes of him not getting back to me, I called him. The phone rang out until I got his voicemail. Hanging up, I tried again. Still no answer. He'd never not answered before. A frown pulled down my lips, and my nerves rolled in my stomach. I sucked a deep breath in, filling my lungs to calm the growing panic. Deep breath. One. Deep breath. Two. Deep breath. Three. Memories of waking up in the hospital to the news of my mother's death snuck their way through my mind, and dread pulled at my edges. Pushing them away, I waited another 15 minutes before calling him again. It had now been 2.5 hours since he'd dropped me off, an hour later than planned. This time, I couldn't stop the panic from sinking its teeth into me. He should have been here. At the very least, he should have called back by now. I let out a frustrated growl at the feeling of hopelessness. Okay, calm down. He was famous. If anything happened, it would be on the news. I quickly scrolled through all the major news sites, but there was nothing mentioning him. I opened up Twitter, searching for his hashtag, and my breath caught in my throat. Photo after photo of Jax hanging out on a patio not even 10 minutes ago, standing close to none other than Selena Petrone and two people I didn't recognize. Pictures of him smiling, laughing, ones with him taking pictures with fans. My fingers trembled, and I lost my grip on my phone as a hollow feeling of disappointment sank like a stone in my stomach, replacing the panic that burned through me seconds ago. I blinked rapidly, refusing to cry. It was my fault for believing that he would somehow be different, that I would be more important than whatever was happening in these photos that had him too distracted to even call and give me a heads up. Looking around the park at all the smiling faces, the playing kids, the happy couples, anger sent ice creeping through my veins. I slowly rebuilt my walls, brick by brick, and waited for him to remember me.
32. Jax. I looked over at Sid, but she was still turned toward her window. Her entire body was twisted away from me. I fucked up. When I checked my phone in my agent's office, I couldn't believe how much time had passed. It felt like a few minutes, not over 2 hours. When I saw all her texts and missed calls, a sense of foreboding sat like a weight on me. I immediately called her, listened to it ring, trepidation filling me by the time she answered. "I'm so sorry, Sid. I'm going to be right there." Silence filled the air until I finally heard her take a deep breath. "Okay. See you soon." Sydney's voice sounded wrong. Too hard, too brittle. Nothing of the sassy tone she normally gave me. By the time I picked her up, I was a wreck. My hair stood on end from how many times I'd run my hand through it, but she just got in the truck, giving me a small smile. I asked about her interview, and she seemed genuinely excited about how it went. She was so understanding when I said I lost track of time. Too understanding. Fuck. I tried to meet her gaze, but she kept her face turned to the window. She looked tired, and I drove faster to get back to my place. I was going to worship her tonight, make her feel everything that I couldn't figure out how to say. When we pulled up to the house, she was the first out of the car, but she waited for me. Her eyes didn't meet mine, and my breath constricted in my chest. She held out her hand, and I followed her to my room. Sid didn't sit on the bed. Instead, she stood in front of me and leaned her head against my chest. She trembled in my arms, and I squeezed them tighter, trying to hold us together. "I'm right here, Sydney. Talk to me." I slid my hand over her cheek and gently tipped her face up. "I'm..." Her breath caught. I can't keep doing this." She straightened her shoulders, pushing back, and a hard look crossed her face. "This is why we promised to end at the end of the semester." I stepped back from her. "First, I never promised a goddamn thing, especially not that. Second, we still have time. I'd think if you feel the way you say, you'd want to spend all the time we have left together. That's certainly how I fucking feel." My chest felt like it was crumbling in on itself. My voice came out in a plea as I circled her arms lightly with my hands. "Tell me what you need. Tell me what I could do. I'll do it, Sid. I'll fucking do it." I knew this was real. She was just spooked. Everything about us was overwhelming, but worth it. She inhaled a deep breath, and I could faintly see her quietly counting. 1, 2, 3 before she stepped back. My hands hesitated, but they let her go. She rubbed her palms over her face, pulling the hair out of her bun, and stared at me with tears in her eyes. Her voice was laced with a desperate kind of anger. "I'm such an idiot. I knew this would happen." Her words broke on a sob. "Sid, I'm sorry. I just lost track of time. It won't happen again." She laughed, but there was nothing funny about it. "Jax, I knew this would happen. Just like I knew it would happen again. I can't do this." Panic froze the air in my lungs, and I struggled to breathe, my words coming out hoarse. "It won't. I promise it won't. I'm so freaking sorry for forgetting to pick you up, but I promise it won't happen again." She sniffed, and for the briefest of moments, I thought she was going to say it was fine, that nothing had changed. But what she said next fucking broke me. Tears rolled down her cheeks, and her lips trembled. "You broke number 5. Shattered it into a million little pieces I'll never be able to put back together." It was like a shotgun to the chest, sending pain radiating from my heart out through my body, and my lungs collapsed as I processed her words. She loved me. She fucking loved me. "I can fix this. It's not yours to fix. This isn't something we power through. I thought I could do this. I thought..." My heart was catching on her words, hoping she would change them. "I thought I could handle this, but I can't." Every reason I could think of that this was stupid flooded my head. It was one time. I wouldn't forget again. I'd do better. But then she took another slow step back, holding her hand up, and I stopped myself from responding. "It's not going to be enough, Jax. Your life will be full of amazing things, but it's not the life I want to live." I shook my head in frustration, needing to make her understand. "I want all of those things too. We can make it work. You said you'd try." My hands tightened at my sides. "Don't you understand? You're already in, you're inside my skin, inside my chest, inside my lungs, deep within my bones, my heart, my soul. I fucking love you, Sydney." Anguish flashed across her face. "What if you're meant to leave? What if this isn't a love story, but a tragedy?" "I'm not leaving you. I'm going to Boston, but I'm not going anywhere. You're the one trying to end this." Her eyes met mine. There were tears pooling, ready to spill.
I'm not going to be able to make the concessions required to make this work. I need certain things in my future, and one of those things is someone to come home to. There are plenty of women who would be okay with you being gone throughout the season, but I would be miserable.
She clenched her hands together to hide them, shaking.
I won't be the reason you feel guilty about doing what you love.
Her jaw clenched, and I knew what was coming before she said it.
This is over. We're over. I need this to be a clean break. There's only Professor Carter's final exam left, and we both know we're ready for it. I'm sorry. I need this to stop.
Her words vibrated through my head. This wasn't right. This couldn't be happening. I stepped toward her, then another, and another. She didn't move, but she also didn't lean into me. I'm ripping my fucking heart out trying to decide between being here with you or with my team. I backed her into the wall. I can't have both, and the idea of giving one up is fucking devastating. Cupping the sides of her face, I captured her mouth in a hungry kiss. I pulled away, sucking in breaths, and tried to breathe through the pain.
Fuck, Sydney. Why? Why can't we just give it a shot? Why did it have to be all or nothing? I can't accept it. My heart won't let me.
My fingers trembled on her skin, the world crumbling around me. I didn't look away. But she did.
It's not your decision, Jax. It's mine. You don't need to choose between the game and me. You just have to let me go.
The crack in her voice lanced through my heart. I slid my hands down her arms and laced our fingers together. I tipped my forehead down to rest on hers and dragged in shaky breaths. Each inhale felt like a dagger sinking into my chest. She's leaving me. Desperately, I searched for some other option, some way that we could reverse tonight and pretend that it didn't happen. Somehow I got to keep her in my life, keep this feeling of finally reaching happiness. Squeezing my eyes shut, I breathed in her citrusy scent for maybe the last time and closed my grip on her fingers, pleading with her.
Come with me.
I could see her heart breaking in her eyes, and released her hands to wipe her loose tears with my thumbs, gently cupping her face.
Please.
My voice cracked. Sid stiffened, and her shoulders shook, and I kissed down the side of her face, trying to calm her as she took deep, hiccuping breaths. Her heart pounded against me, and she was staring with so much anguish I knew she felt the same. She knew how remarkable what we had was, that separating would be a special kind of torture. But it didn't stop her from straightening in my arms as if steeling herself. Her fingers glided over my face, thumbs smoothing out my brows, knuckles dragging across my lips. Her gaze took in every detail as I did the same to her.
I memorized the patterns of her freckles, the perfect green hue of her eyes, the slight puffiness of her lips.
I stared back into her, and I could see what was coming. She wasn't going to let me avoid it this time. There were no more extensions. No more mercy.
This was a mistake.
Fuck no. I crashed my mouth into hers, cutting off her words. Whether it's a lifetime or a moment, not a second of what's between us could ever be a mistake. Love is moment to moment. It's not dependent on how much longer you're together. And I fucking love you, Sydney. It's going to hurt like hell, but it'll have been worth it.